Hi, I'm Tam.
And I'm Eternally Mortal.
And this is the Hidden Egg Podcast, where we talk about vulnerability.
And stuff.
And things.
And things, exactly. Welcome back to the Hidden Egg Podcast, episode 4 of season 4, where we go over Medium articles and talk about the vulnerability within and the vulnerability within ourselves as we read them. Did that sum it up pretty well?
Yeah, that sounded really professional. I really liked that. Good job.
Heck yeah. I've been like neck deep in corporate for weeks now.
I also
driving me mad.
Before we get too far in, I want to apologize for the fact that my throat has been real rough the past few days. So I might not talk as much and I might be clearing my throat a lot more. It's a thing. It's a process.
Yeah, and I'm going to try and take a little bit more. I'm going to try and take a little bit more of the lead on the conversations today, but I'm probably going to get lost and meander, and hopefully you can bop me if I go a little too.
Yeah, so you are able to see my screen too, right?
I am,
in the live thing. Okay, so you'll know like what the article is, but you have your own articles too.
I do have the articles up as well. I have yours in kind of a little bitty screen so that I can still see the audience. Right. But, you know, I see what's up, and so I can look at the articles when I know what's up there.
Gotcha. Okay, well, the first one, if you don't mind us moving forward.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and bring it up when you're ready. The first article we were going to just quickly give a little shout-out for was written by our very own Sturge, currently in our chat. Called Why I Abstained from the Internet on April 1st this year. Subtext, I am not a huge fan of practical jokes these days, so I might have been trying to protect myself. By the Sturge on Medium.
Yeah, I really liked your April Fool's story in my mouth. Apparently doesn't work. Do not take that out of context.
Oh, they will, but that's okay.
Yeah, I really liked how vulnerable it was, and we definitely agree with your consensus here. April Fool's isn't all that funny. There's enough misinformation. We don't need a holiday with it.
Also, pranks are like really shitty. There's certain things that I'm okay with, but it's only when both people are, or all people I should say, are consenting and in on it, and people don't like those quote-unquote pranks sometimes because they feel staged.
Have you heard of those positive pranks? There's a guy that does catcalling, but it's like a affirmational catcalling. So like,
I think I've seen some shorts.
He'll like watch some women go by, and he'll have like this megaphone and be like, "I bet you do your taxes on time," or something.
Right.
You know, just stuff that's just basic compliments that
aren't about the regular catcalling shit, like boobs and butts.
I like pranks like that, but anything like most people, their idea of pranks are stupid.
Yeah, and I'm not a fan, but I am a fan of Sturge's article here because it was very, very vulnerable and personal. It went through how Sturge interacted with pranks earlier in his life and the turnaround that he went through, and like it was touching and so many moments.
Ben, did you see hilarious. Ben's comment?
Yeah,
how dare you assume I pay my taxes on time?
Yeah. There was a specific moment in the article that like really hit me, like, wow, I really feel that. That's the thing that I wrote.
You highlighted it.
Well, did I? Was it? Because I don't see anything that I highlighted on this one.
You told me you were highlighting it when you were reading it.
Sometimes, well, that might have been a different, we just looked at 5 articles. Like, it's possible it was one of the other ones too. But yeah, it was really good. I don't want to read the whole thing. Go check it out. Sturge wrote an amazing article about April Fool's Day and pranks in general.
Okay, and then the other shout-out article is by Lynn, L-I-N, was published in The Thought Thinkers, which Ben is the, Ben Ulansey is the, I think the owner. Aren't you the owner of it? I'm pretty sure. But it's called What If We're Not Really Alive? Yeah, Ben is. Okay. And subtitle, An Innocent Game of Call of Duty Turned into a Full-Blown Existential Crisis. We liked this one, but it doesn't really fit the vulnerability vibe as much. But it was still a really good done, well-done article.
It was, and it was a very vulnerable moment for the author, absolutely. I've totally experienced that sort of thing, and like Tam and I have like at length for years discussed like our treatment of video game
So
characters and
many
how it
hours
matters.
of conversation.
Right, absolutely. And so yeah, it was that's I mean it's hard to really like pick out individual bits because like this just flows from one thing into a next into what you would imagine an existential crisis is, you know, like going through like beating on the building blocks of what makes a sentient reality, you know?
I was
That's what it
actually
seemed like
really
to me.
surprised that this one didn't get more attention. Because, I
Oh.
mean, it's only got 301 claps and two replies or whatever, and one of them's me. So
Yeah.
it was really well done. I strongly recommend anyone listening to go read it. I'll put it in the places where I put things, put the
Yeah.
links.
Do that. That's the thing you should totally do. But it was a really good article. I enjoyed reading it. It was my first introduction to Lynn's work, so it was nice.
And
And
now
then
on to the first article that we will actually be talking about in depth. And that one's by
yes.
Matthew Maniacci.
Yeah, Matthew Maniacci wrote, "Basic human rights are not an opinion. I can and will end relationships over bigotry." And just talking about the article to start out with, like, there's so many things in here that very much the title does expressly state what you're going to be getting with this article. There's so many things in here that I wish I had the cojones to say out loud to people because I do get very fired up about many forms of bigotry and the inherent like need to follow in the footsteps of bigotry like infuriates me. And Maniacci put so much work into like really drawing out exactly what it is that was irritating about that and how it is like wrong and silly to just other people and make them lesser than you in your mind. Like there's it was pretty awesome as an article. I really like it.
As I read it, like every both times, because I read it twice, both times when I read it, I kept thinking to myself, like, I really just want to read this out loud on the podcast. I mean, we're
Like
not
the whole
going to,
thing.
yeah, like the whole thing, because like just saying the words, it like they all have so much power. He's got so many good points, and the emotion behind every single word is like, yes, through the whole thing.
And I wanted to put, I know it kind of was a little awkward about this, Tam, when you and I were talking about it, but I wanted to mention that like we actually like interacted with Matthew Maniacci in the past in IRL. I haven't spoken and revealed myself yet to him through Medium to let him know that I'm me and from his past or anything, and I feel a little awkward about it, but it was a random find to find out that someone that we knew from back in the day was writing on Medium as well. And Matthew Maniacci has written an article a day for a very long time, I think.
I don't know if he writes every single day. I don't think he actually keeps up that hardcore with it, but some days, he's been writing for years, apparently.
Yeah. And I just thought that that was really cool. But yeah, I mean, do you want me to get more in depth into some of the bits of this article? Because it was pretty.
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna say, like, one of the things I liked most about this article was the idea that like people will have this argument about what was it that he said, that they'll argue that it's not tolerant, and that it's their opinion. And he's like, no, this isn't an opinion. Liking pineapple on pizza is an opinion. However, when you've decided that somebody doesn't deserve to live, that's not an opinion, that's a moral stance.
Absolutely. And he calls so many things out specifically. He calls out, treating women as lesser than men. He calls out the bigotry of racism, the sexism, genderisms, like
He even
just,
goes into immigration
yeah,
and how
absolutely.
people call immigrants illegals as if a person could be exempt from basic human rights just because they're quote unquote illegal.
Right.
But nobody talks about how if you go, 65 in a 50 zone, you're technically illegal too. Do you no longer deserve human rights?
Sure,
Food
absolutely.
for thought.
There was something I was going to say, but you kind of jogged it out of my brain with that one.
Sorry.
That's okay. Yeah. But yeah, it's no one deserves human
No,
rights.
no one deserves human rights. Well, at least you're consistent, you know? At that
Right.
point, it's not a moral stance against certain people, it's just a moral stance against everybody.
Right. Well, until we get, different aliens and stuff like that, and then it's a specific group of people again. Human rights.
You don't know. He could decide that nobody just like even not even the aliens deserve human rights. They are exclusionary. They don't nobody deserves them.
I think it's really interesting that, like, I think as a society, we've pretty much decided on what it means, basic human rights, like, that we're basically saying that every human deserves the right to what they need to survive, right? Food, shelter, clothing, or whatever. Is clothing necessary anymore? I don't
Yes,
know.
but it's deeper than that. Human rights are also about like
Like, respect and
when
dignity?
when you're like having a war, there are certain methods of torture that when they come out, like we all as a group kind of decide, you know what, that's inhumane. And yeah, you shouldn't do that, even in wars. Does that
Yeah.
stop people? I don't know.
No. Shelter for profit is a
Yeah,
business
you're
model.
right. You're right, Serge.
Yeah.
Americans do still think that shelter for profit is a business model, which is sad. I don't. We have so much space over here. Like, I don't understand why people get upset about tiny homes for poor, homeless people. Did you hear about that? I don't remember where it was at, but there's some neighborhood of tiny homes. Like they're the size of a freaking truck at best.
I want one.
And there's like this charity that they build the tiny homes, and then they go around and they get homeless people, and it's like a whole community. And the homeless people, they come in and they get support. There's a counselor, a social worker that comes to the neighborhood to help them get themselves acclimated to a community experience. They help them figure out where they would want to work. They get them into a job. Eventually, a lot of them actually move out and become members of society again. And it has become this whole like rehabilitation place for homeless people.
Good. Something that we very badly needed. I mean,
And
if you want to talk about people that were dehumanized for a long time, it was definitely homeless people.
yet most places are spending millions, if not billions of dollars on architecture to keep homeless people from sleeping there.
Right. It's such bullshit. And like that was part of the part of this article that I was really like resonating with is that Maniaci made a very clear delineation between, liberal and conservative. Like, liberals care for the well-being of all peoples regardless of anything, and conservatives seem to want to be able to say we as conservative people are better than other people. Like, I've talked to layman conservatives just out in the wild, just people that are, casual Trump voters. Vote Trumpers? What the fuck? Anyway,
They do vote Trump.
I know, right? And they just genuinely think that there's just gonna always be groups of people that are worse than them. And they include me as part of them in those conversations, which honestly, I'm not super okay with, but I don't know how to
I know that I know that you've brought that up before and we've talked about this before, but this time you saying it, something clicked in my brain and it really sounds to me a lot like my experiences growing up in an abusive household where like, 'cause you know how I have difficulties with comparisons and with somebody needing to be at fault and blame. All of those things have this sort of hierarchy feel to it where somebody is on top and somebody is on bottom. And I don't mean that in the dirty way. But I feel like that is a product of an abusive environment. And if you have this idea that somebody has to be on top and somebody has to be on bottom, that two people can't be equal, then it's a really big indicator that you may be in or have been in a highly abusive environment.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so very common around the first world experience, because I don't have any other experience than that.
Right.
But like all the people that I know were just like super into competition in a certain way. And a lot of it, when I got to know those people and understand their motivations for what they decided to do, was because they wanted to feel better than other people. And that was when I started throwing video games. I stopped really trying to beat people as a child in video games. I stopped trying to do the game the best that I could, and instead tried to make it to where the other person didn't realize I let them win, or didn't realize that I wasn't trying very hard. Some of them could have just beat me always. I'm not trying to say I'm a god at video games, though, you know. Well, anyway.
I wouldn't recommend anybody actually doing that for other people because it's been really damaging for you. However, I will say that your ability to do that, to just be basically just be the bottom every time, to be the one low man on the totem pole in every argument, in every circumstance, that was what I seemed to need in order to see the disparity. I didn't realize that it was abuse until you were so consistently anti-argument. Like you never fought to be the one on top. And that was something that was really new to me. I'd never experienced that before.
I know, Sturge, I'm just laughing too. I mean, I'm the perpetual bottom. How can I not laugh? Anyway,
So like I don't know, like I'm sure there's a healthy way of doing it, so I don't want people to go out there and just think that they, just need to be railroaded and that's what fixes all the abusers, because I don't think that that's a good idea either. But I do think there's some element of no longer like participating. Just don't participate in this whole better or worse thing. And when they say, "Well, I deserve this," you say, "Yes, you do deserve this." You don't have to fight them about it, And it's you, the only time that you have to really insert anything is when they say, "Well, those people don't deserve," but yes, they do. They deserve this. Well, but I deserve. Yes, you do. Like, I don't know.
Possibility. It's a possible direction that could be taken.
Yeah.
Definitely. I wanted to say I'm kind of going a little bit backwards, but I'm coming around to agreeing with what you just said. That like my experience growing up was what led me to the decision, more or less, to let that happen. Like middle school, more or less, the traumatic parts of middle school, to where I really felt like I was the most alone that I've ever felt, and hated, really pushed me to the point where I was like, this is what it seems like needs to happen to be able to just be ourselves. If someone feels like they've already won, then they just are who they are.
Yeah.
And that leads to some people towards abuse, because once they feel like they've won, they might try and just, you know, like play with the power that they have over you. And I've certainly experienced that. But it was just so much nicer to be able to find out who people are,
Can I ask
what they're
you
into, what their passions are.
a tangential question?
Sure.
So you have put yourself aside for probably hundreds of people in favor of letting them be right, letting them talk about themselves, etc. I know that you and I have talked about this in private, how few people actually come back around to do that in exchange with you or even think about you as your own separate person. They kind of just expect you to do what they're doing and fight to be heard instead of actually trying to listen to you. So my question is, what would you say the ratio is, like out of every 100 people that you bend over backwards to let them win and let them talk about whatever they want to talk about, how many of those people would you expect to at some point, maybe not even every time, but at some point, ask about you unprompted?
Two or three. If I could look at the last 100 people that I've been like that at work with, you know, because especially at work, because it's already a stressful situation and people are already just stressed, I just let people win a lot there. And like, there's a few people at work that like will take that moment after they feel after the conversation's ended and like look at me and be like, huh, what's how are you doing? You know, like with not the how's it going, but the really like paying attention to something that's a part of me, something that I'm into. Like I almost named people. What an ass. There's a person that I've like gushed once or twice about how much I like Rocket League. And, you know, a couple months later they ask me if there's anything up with that. I'm like, aw, damn, that's so cute. You remembered. Oh, we've lost Ben, but maybe he'll come back. And like one of the dudes that's kind of antagonistic to me in a certain regard, but he thinks it's friendly, does pick up on thing on aspects of who I am and ask me questions about stuff. In fact, from his perspective, he tries to help me and have a more healthy perspective.
Do
I
you
don't agree with him, but I
think
appreciate the intent. Sorry.
that 2 to 3 people in every 100, do you think that that is like, do you think that the possibility of that increases with how often you're around them, or is it just that's just the percentage?
It's definitely time with them. Like if you were to be able to have a counter that only counted up when I'm hanging out with them, the higher that count went, the more likely they would feel like they'd been able to say everything that they wanted to say and be interested in what it is that I might be into. But there is a little bit of a variable in that, you know, if I don't see them for a couple of weeks and a whole bunch of shit happens to them in those in that couple of weeks, then unlikely. Like I don't mean this negatively because I love you dearly, Tam, but it took a long time in a certain regard for you.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time,
It took years.
you're one of the only ones that has been able to, you're the only one that's been able to get as deep with paying attention to who I am and how I think and what I care about as no one has gotten nearly as deep as you. There's other people that are still making the attempt currently, and it delights me that that's happening, and I appreciate that greatly. But I'm so guarded, it's so difficult to penetrate that outer skin to even find something to be interested in. Like, it's just, I'm so good at being able to promote whatever it is that you're into or passionate about that it takes a lot of effort to think to ask. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, the ratio that I had from like the first few years of our relationship, the ratio was bad. It was like for every conversation, maybe it was like for every 100 conversations we had, there was one where I was actually asking about you. All those other 99, I was just very self-focused.
Yeah, I real quick, 'cause we're a little off topic. I do want to say that, like, you know, after an enormous amount of trauma, I think that it takes a lot of time to be able to heal enough to be able to look outside again. You know, if you get super duper sick and have to have like, you know, an appendix removed or something even worse than that, it's going to be a long time before you're able to just get up and walk around again. You
you
know what
know,
I mean?
we did meander away from the point, but it does actually kind of segue into the next article if you wanted to move on to that.
That's true. That's true. Go check out Matthew Maniacci's article. All right, moving on. We're gonna talk now about, yeah, I see the screen. The straw that broke the narcissist trauma bond
Bye,
the day after.
Ethan.
Okay, bye,
Ethan's
you
leaving.
good. Okay. But yeah, The Day I Knew I Was Gaslighting Myself was the subtitle there, by Amelie or Amelie D. Phoenix. Reminds me of Monkey D. Luffy, but that's anime, sorry.
I've never heard of that. Anyway, yeah, so this was a story about the narcissist in her life, and you know my stance on narcissists and abusers is a little unpopular, and I don't need to like convince her to give him any chances whatsoever. I want to put that out there. But the segue is that no matter how narcissistic a person is, there is always the possibility that they are just really traumatized and need to get help to work through that trauma, and then they can be real people. That's no average person. It is never their responsibility to make that happen for their abuser or narcissist. That is not at all what I'm saying. I'm just putting it out there that the guy that she talks about in here, while admittedly it reveals that he was probably pretty shitty to her, it's possible if he went independently to go get some help, he could eventually fix himself, basically.
Right. That I don't believe that there's anybody that's outside the realm of rehabilitation and change.
You'd be
There's
surprised. People who have been abused tend to, well, I used to talk
I
about my
absolutely.
abuser as like, no, there was he was irredeemable. There was no point. There was no point. And for a time, I think most people who have been victims of abuse kind of almost need that because they need to separate themselves from any sort of blame or responsibility for that person, because that person tends to have in their abuse attached responsibility of their problems to the victim and what they've done. So, you have to pendulum a little bit to get away.
Also, Ben's back, just so you know.
Welcome
Welcome
back,
back, Ben.
Ben.
So yeah, did people talk a little bit more about the article, or am I cutting you off in the middle of
No,
a thought?
yeah, I want to talk more about the article, but
So yeah, Amelie Phoenix's article was like a very specific story and an event that happened, like that showed her exactly what it was that she was dealing with, and it is incredibly well written, and very evocative. You can just feel every moment of it, to be honest, and it does definitely call out. I guess we can reference who this person is to her, right? That's okay.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, it's her husband, probably ex-husband. I have no idea how long ago this article was, but clearly a relationship that was ending, and a catastrophe, like massive catastrophe, happened, and this person, this husband, was not capable in that moment of
He
extending
wasn't even
himself.
there
Right. That's
and
kind of the thing.
couldn't seem to connect with like any part of it in a reasonable way.
Right. And I remember reading it, and like, Tam, I think I talked to you about this privately, that I kind of like had a moment of relating to the feeling of being unable to help someone you care about in a catastrophe, just being too overwhelmed for that sort of thing. But I don't know that I really need to apply that to this particular person, because it sounds like, based on what we've gotten from this one article, that like the reason why they were unwilling to help out in that moment, this he was unwilling to help out in that moment, is because he was still butthurt about something really silly.
Well, I think that they had separated and he wasn't around or whatever. But the thing is, the thing about abuse is that it looks so similar to things that aren't abuse. It, like, true abuse. Well, I don't want to say true abuse because overt abuse is abuse too. But there's so many more covert abuses that are just as damaging, and you don't notice them. But she points out in her story, like, there's a difference. Well, she doesn't point it out, I guess, but there's a difference between being overwhelmed and then saying, if you need anything, let me know, and forgetting to ask about your children.
Yes, that is a very good point.
Anytime that you, because we raised a child together, anytime that you were overwhelmed and you were in that like, just let me know if I need to help out with anything, you tended to ask how they were doing. Or if, did they need any help specifically? You would also sometimes ask me, like, do I need to talk to them specifically because you're too overwhelmed? So, yeah, that when you're a parent, if you're a narcissist, it's pretty clear that you're a narcissist because you're not, like, you, as a parent, you have to set some of your needs aside to at least know what your child's needs are and determine if you can take care of your needs or if their needs come first.
And that's really the key, and that's really the litmus test, I'll say, of whether or not this person has the ability to change. Because like that close of a bond, of a real bond there that is potential, because this is your child. Like, can you come out of yourself enough to realize that you can potentially sacrifice your time to make other people happy?
I don't want to say that that's the litmus test of whether they can change, but it is definitely an indicator that they, if he were to start asking about his children, that would be a flag that he has changed.
Yeah, that's better. That's a better way of saying it. I'm saying everything awkwardly today. It's so funny.
It's okay. I had a feeling that was what you meant, but that's not what you said, so I
It's
had to clarify.
words. You're a little low physically, I'm a little low mentally, so by our powers combined, we'll somehow get there,
We're a
right?
whole person by our powers
We are.
combined.
We are Voltron.
But one of the
What?
things, oh, not Semitic,
No, it's
semantic.
semantic. I know.
Semantic. I
It was
had that
just,
same moment. Like, what?
it had I'm pretty sure the desired effect.
Yeah. Sorry for people listening. Sturge just said mortals anti-semantic, but in text. And so at first glance, it looks like anti-Semitic, which was the intended effect to shock us.
Yeah, make
Anyway,
me chuckle. Anyway, I do want to come back to the article again because,
well, I was
what?
gonna say that, like, one of the things that I really enjoyed about this article is that she walks you through that day, that memory, without bringing the trauma. Like, I'm not going to say that it doesn't evoke potential for drama. There are, probably should be a trigger warning or whatever, but it doesn't go into the really traumatic stuff. She's not like reliving a day when he beat her, or like a day when they had a knockdown argument about something and she, was crying for hours or anything. None of that. It's just the moment of realization that, like, oh, I need to leave. This isn't working.
Yeah. That moment of realization was exactly what I was going to talk about too. And you're absolutely right. Like walking us through it to that moment is powerful. That's what you said. Is that what you said? Isn't that what you said? I don't know.
That's what I meant, if it wasn't what I said.
Okay, perfect. God, I love it when we're on the same page. It's so amazing. But yeah, just that being able to record a moment when you've spent years saying, all of the stuff that has happened to me is fine. I know that deep down this is a good person that's trying their best. And so I will just
But I
continue to
can't
give,
take
and
it anymore.
I will just continue to give, and I will just continue to give. And in that change moment where you're
Yeah.
like, you know what? I think I've given enough.
Yeah.
I think it's time for me to just be without that. And that's an amazing moment. I'm so happy that this person was able to record that.
And I selfishly want to, if she ever comes and listens to the podcast, I would love to have this writer for Abuse Road. If anybody listening at all is wondering what kind of stories do we want on Abuse Road, I love her story. She's not saying that he can't change. So, like, I know that there might be a little bone to pick there, because I do tend to say, like, don't target abusers as if they're just the way they are. But the point here is that, like, she changed. It doesn't, like, he wasn't important to the story, if that makes sense.
Right. He was present, and you knew what sort of husband he was from her perspective
Right.
through reading it, but it didn't unnecessarily flame him. The
Right.
article didn't like it wasn't a hate piece or a vent piece or an anger piece.
Exactly.
Well, at least not
Exactly.
directed at someone, you know, it was more
Right.
directed at her realization, and I thought that was amazing.
Right. And, like, there may be the potential for her to be thinking that he's never going to change, and that could be correct. But, like, it's never actually stated in there. So there's always the possibility that someone could come across this, read it, and be like, that's exactly what I'm going through. And know that the narcissist in their life may change. And that's okay, but that's not their responsibility. They don't have to be chained to that. They don't have to have that hope.
Right.
Because sometimes hope is destructive. And I totally get
Right.
that.
Yep, exactly.
So
Shall we move on to our
Sturge
final
said
piece?
something. I don't know what he said, damn it, you too, Tam, about, but apparently I
Yeah.
did something. I don't know.
That's okay. You do things all the time. Usually they're good.
Oh, I'm being anti-semantic?
So
Am I?
maybe we can ask about this. What do you mean by anti-semantic?
Yeah,
Maybe I'm not fully getting it.
I don't
Or
think I get it.
you can tell us later after the podcast if you want to. It's either way. I'm interested though.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, got it.
All right, so the last one, this is our hopeful story, and hear me out, okay? Because the story, I don't want to give away the answer, like the ending, but I don't.
Yeah, if we're having this as our hopeful story, we're gonna have to be a little spoilery about it, to be honest,
Yeah,
but
I guess we kind of are.
not completely, you know what I mean? So this story by this is the story I didn't want to share.
Oh
Subtitle,
no.
I'm told these are the stories we should be writing. What's up?
Sturge says, I feel like you two are going against this writer's wishes. Do you mean Anne Travascus? Because that might be, I mean, we might, because technically she didn't put anything in the
Oh,
title.
because the title says this is the story I didn't want to share and we are sharing it. I get it. But you don't think this author is going to hate us, right? Because if this author is going to hate us, I will
I
stop
mean, if she didn't
immediately.
want to share it, then maybe she shouldn't have shared it enough to get 8.5K claps and 166 responses. You know,
No.
this was a pretty, yeah, it was boosted. She shared the shit out of it.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Sturge just did a really good job. That's all that happened here. Sturge's comment was fantastic at throwing me off.
No, go away, Epic. No, go away, Epic. Oh,
Okay,
goodness.
so I
Sorry.
have to start again. I have to start again. This is the story I didn't want to share. I'm told these are the stories we should be writing by Annie Travascus. Apologies if I mispronounced. And this
That's
was
Annie. I said Anne. I feel so bad.
that's okay. This is such just like a vulnerable and open piece to how a person truly feels. Like it was, I don't know, it really like was very, very clear to me how this person felt. And I thought it was delightful because like there's a lot of, oh God, I'm being too vague. You have any
I think
thoughts
we're
on
just gonna
that?
have to say it. There's so few people that listen to our podcast right now. I don't think we need to dwell on the details. I want people to go read this because it's amazing. Annie Travascos is a phenomenal author on Medium. But I think we're just gonna have to explain that, like, this is a story about one of her children had to go into rehab.
Right. Yes. That is basically the essence of the story. But it tells us so much more than just that. Like, she reveals herself as a mother. Do you know what I mean? She really like gets into what it feels like to be the mother of someone that is struggling with alcoholism and goes into who this person is that is her child. Which I think that there's a lot of parents out there even that can't tell me who their children are.
Oh
D
my
does
God,
that,
yeah.
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
I know a lot of those.
right, exactly. And so, like, you know, I feel the bond that comes through this article just listening to it. And you know, there's a lot of tragedy that's wrapped up in this. This is a person that's dealing with alcoholism and the things that alcoholism can do to you. It's a person that believed that they were a functioning alcoholic, which is a term I've heard a million times. And I've heard people say it and continue to function to this day, and I've heard people that say it and then stop functioning
How,
at a certain point.
however, because you're really going hard into the tragedy of it,
Sorry.
the reason why this is a positive article for me is because, well, for two things. The biggest one is that there was a very strong message of hope at the end where, like, he reached out to her and said, "I need help." And that's
Yeah,
huge.
that's beautiful.
So beautiful and huge, and I find that to be extraordinarily positive. That's what you need to hear before they go through the rehab and actually make it, you know? And then
Yeah.
the other thing, which was less obvious, but there was a point where she said something about that she felt ashamed of her ability to help pay for this expensive rehab for her child to go through.
Right. She even said explicitly how much it's going to cost her to send him to the rehab that she thinks will be the best fit for him, the best beneficial benefit for him. And then she references how much, you know, like that could feed, how many families that could feed or whatever.
And
And
I wanted to say that, like, I totally understand, first and foremost, where that shame comes from. Like, I don't know where it comes from necessarily, but I understand it. I've been there. But on the other hand, I am so happy that she was able to. The fact that what I could do with that money is inconsequential. When I look at her in her position, she had that money, and I am very happy for her to be able to do that for her child. And
yeah.
that's what makes it the second positive thing, which, like I said, it's not quite as obvious as the first one, but
No, and I fully agree because, I mean, like, you know me for a long time, and if I get something, I feel bad about it because
yeah.
what if I got it because other people didn't get it, right? What if I get people reading my articles, but that means that other people don't get the reads that would have been that I did get? Like, I stole reads, I stole luck, and stuff like that. Like,
Oh my God,
I
you put it that
understand.
way. Every time I go on a medium, I'm like, I can only read so many people. I wonder how many people I don't even get to read because I didn't have the time or they didn't show up in the algorithm at the exact moment that I logged on. It's all random.
Right. And I mean, money in a certain regard now is just kind of this like made up thing to a certain extent, you know? So like there's no fairness. There's a bunch of people that will shout about how things are not fair, right?
Yeah, I don't like the idea of things being deserved and undeserved.
Right.
Things just
And
happen or they don't happen. We don't have
us.
to have any sort of idea of it being deserved or fair because life isn't fair.
Right. Exactly. And so when someone has the ability to help someone and then they choose to help that person, that's always beautiful.
Yep.
Every time. I don't care about where else the resources could have gone that could help, that could have helped out. I understand it and I get it, and there's so many people that are struggling financially right now that if they heard my words, they'd be like, I would be able to help my kids with way more that they're going through than just this one thing that for that rehab. And it's like, I get how you feel, and your feeling is a testament of your love to your kids. That's amazing. That's awesome. That's as beautiful.
See, I look at it slightly, maybe it's not different, but it feels slightly differently. Where I look at her and I'm like, okay, you're right. I am envious of you because you obviously have more money than we do, but you are not a billionaire. You don't have billions of dollars just sitting around doing nothing for anyone. You had money that maybe it was sitting around doing nothing for a little while, but it wasn't billions of dollars, and then you needed it. I think that that puts us on the same level playing field. It's just you're a little bit, on the upper part of the ramp. The people that I don't agree with, that they're the ones that have hoarded wealth, that have millions or billions of dollars they're doing absolutely nothing with. And then they basically tell poor people that it's their fault, that they can't
Yeah.
do what they need to do in life.
If there was a billionaire out there that like genuinely looked like they were happy to give their money, let me see how if I can say this correctly. This person that paid for her son's rehab was like felt so much about it. It mattered so much to her that she was doing it. And I've never seen a billionaire give anything and feel that same amount. Do you know what I
Right,
mean? It
right.
always just looks like a plastic smile posted on something for fucking, a photo op.
Well, because I believe that that kind of rich status, that's a sickness. They are mentally ill. They can't feel that for other people. And that part of them not being able to feel that for other people is why they're hoarding the wealth, because they don't have the relationships that would fill the void, and so they just fill it with money.
Yeah, absolutely. If I had the opportunity to say something to the author of this article, I would definitely say that I hope that she doesn't feel that shame for too long. That I don't think that
I'd
well.
hope that she feels proud of her
Yeah.
ability to be there for her son.
Yeah, I know. I know that there's comments. If I might get there. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I just can't just I can't say that. I just ride my perception as it bucks along this interesting life, just like everyone else.
Did you
So
notice Sturge's earlier comment? Mortal would li literally get all the reads he doesn't deserve.
I'm just ignoring it, sort of. Yeah, and also, mortal, you deserve reads and write more. Come on. Yeah, I know. I've had a couple of ideas for articles, but I've been so busy I haven't even written down those ideas, and most of them have disappeared by now.
On a tangential note to that, you may want to consider checking out the koala quill that Philip is working with. I found
Oh,
it
yeah, that's right.
very interesting and helpful. I wrote a little fiction story, but like I didn't finish it, thinking about just posting it anyway. It works out. Like, it's pretty good. It's not the same as it used to be, but it still does really well at giving you a structure for a story to just kind of jog the creative juices.
Just to play with thoughts and words within a
Yeah.
structure. Yeah, I would probably thrive with that if I can find time to dedicate to it. But I also, do waste time here and there.
That's true. I just think you might have a little bit of time coming up since your job switch is currently in the process, so like maybe in a week or two, you might
Yeah.
have a minute to
Well,
do
I
something you
wanted.
want to do.
Historically now, for the last few years, I've taken the week of my birth off. And so I will not be doing that this year because my new job starts, around my birthday. So I'm gonna have to wait like a month to take off a week for my birth, but I do still plan to take a week off for my birth at some point. So that will definitely give me more time to do stuff, and maybe I'll write some stuff in that time. We'll see.
We
We'll
will
see.
see. Well,
Yes. My birth anniversary is coming up soon.
that was all of the stories that we had. They were really good stories.
I did really enjoy this week's stories, but I think I've enjoyed all the week's stories so far. I'm.
I've been trying to be more selective about what I read, what I pick out as, acceptable stories. I feel a little bit bad about it because on one hand, like Ben was talking about earlier today in the writing group, where it feels a little like, I don't know, you just feel bad kind of condemning people who aren't stronger writers. But at the same time, I want the people that I'm helping to shine, I want them to be shining.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
That goes right into what we were talking about life not being fair, right? It's like things happen and they happen to benefit some people, and
And
instead
they
of
don't
saying
happen to benefit others.
and if we and if instead of saying how terrible that all these people didn't get that benefit, why can't we celebrate the person that did get that benefit? Yes, I understand when favoritism comes into play, that's shitty, and billionaires suck ass. I agree with both of those things, so it's not a 100 perfect statement, but when I got boosted, even though I was I boosted? Did I actually get boosted? I
I don't
can't
think you
remember
got
anymore.
boosted.
So when I got boosted on that article,
Did you
I
get
was
boosted?
maybe I didn't get boosted. I don't know.
I don't
Maybe
remember
I'm.
you getting boosted. You would have gotten an email that said you were boosted.
Then I definitely didn't get boosted, but I got traction on something. I don't know. Maybe I'm making shit up. Anyway, I what I meant was that I felt like I got like traffic on something from somewhere, and it didn't matter that like. No, I think I'm just taught thinking about Sturge pushing me to write, and then I wrote.
Yeah,
That's
that
all
might
I'm really
be.
thinking about. And I appreciated Sturge for that little push. It was nice, but that doesn't actually apply to what we're talking about. I'm losing the thread. I think we need to. I think that's. I think we're getting close to maybe the end of the episode, aren't we?
Yeah. I've already switched over to the Monster Alley screen, so.
Oh, is that supposed to be like an indicator? That maybe we're about ready
I
for the
mean,
wrap up.
it's an indicator. It doesn't have to mean anything necessarily. I didn't mean to say that you like were taking too long or anything.
Right on. I hear you, Sturge. I appreciate that. But it's not necessary. I don't know that I would. I appreciate it. I appreciate it a lot. Well, thanks, Tamanites and mortal heads and hidden egg
Oh
goers
no,
and
I was
listeners.
gonna call everybody eggheads. How does everybody
Oh
feel
yeah,
about being called an
eggheads.
egghead?
Yeah, we're thinking about
I'm
calling
thinking
hidden
about,
egg listeners eggheads.
yeah, because it's good to have a nickname for your fans, your listeners, whatever.
Right.
Eternal bottom. Well, I don't know that everybody would want to be eternally bottom.
Wow, that's hilarious. Okay, so Eggman's,
Oh, is that who that is? I'm like, well, how
Well,
is that relevant, Ben?
that's Dr. Robotnik, but later changed to Eggman or Dr. Eggman in later Sonics. But I will know him as Robotnik for my whole life. Anyway, Eggheads, we're going to call you that until someone tells us to stop.
Or
Thank you for
comes up
coming
with something
along.
better.
Right? Thank you for coming along on this trip. I hope you've enjoyed listening to us talk about these. Go check out those articles. Go check out themonsteralley.com. I'm eternally mortal, and I hope you find smiles this day.
And I am the Accidental Monster. You can find us both on medium.com. You can also, like Mortal said, you could go to themonsteralley.com. It's Themonsterallee. I'm sorry, Allely.com. I don't know why I wanted to put two E's in it, but whatever.
It
and follow yourself always.